Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected honorable listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program. And as you know, on a Jumu'ah, it is our Friday special with Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Damat Barakatuhu. The date today in South Africa, it is the 8th of Dhul Qadah, 1445. Other areas of the world, I know in Pakistan it is still the 8th also, but other areas of the world it is the 9th of Dhul Qadah, 1445, and that is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 17th of May 2024. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu for the opportunity, all well there.
Gee, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us in this tight, I know, schedule of yours. And you've taken out time. I hope you're in a settled place now, Mufti Sahab.
Shukran, we're emotional, but settled to shukran, alhamdulillah, Allah's mercy.
Okay,
all these are opportunities from Allah, and jazakallah for the opportunity.
Okay, if you need a few minutes, maybe we can just play something in the meantime till you get more settled.
Just okay, no, I'm sitting. Bismillah.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mufti Sahab, so we know it is the month of Dhul Qadah and this many events took place. Mufti Sahab, you can share with us certain events.
You know, Jazakallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi bi rahmatika ya arham ar-Rahimin. As we mentioned last week, one was of the pertinent events in this month is Al-Hudaybiyah. And subhanallah, that's such an amazing event in our history, because from there, Islam reached the four corners of the world. That took place in this month. One was the 6th year of Hudaybiyah. Then in the 7th year, there was Umratul Qadha, where the next year Muslims came to perform Umrah. And that Umratul Qadha, where the Muslims came, Muslims spent a few days in Makkah Mukarramah. They were only allowed 3 days. And in those 3 days, Allahu Akbar, the Umrah was performed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, taught them how to perform the Umrah. And some of the mushrikeen exited Makkah. A lot of them were still there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba, do your Umrah and do your tawaf with bravery. Do a practice called ittiba', where the way you tie your ihram, your upper garment, where your right arm is exposed, because the Meccans were spreading rumors that, oh, Muslims have become weak, Medina has weakened them. And this is such an amazing sunnah that carries on up to today. Even the gait or the walk during the 3 rounds of the tawaf was from that time. And during that Umrah, Allahu Akbar, during that Umrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And alhamdulillah, he wedded her. He wedded Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, and he invited the mushrikeen for a meal, hoping that through ikram, their hearts get softened. See, look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the amazing seerah teaches us that he did everything possible for humanity's guidance. Here also, he's making the ikram, that they turned down his invitation, and they said, just make sure you out on time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always complied, and they left Makkah al-Mukarramah. Then, Allahu Akbar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that means Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha in this month, Dhul Qa'dah. And she was the last of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen that was wedded to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha's name was Barra before Islam. She was wedded to Harith bin Hilal, who then passed on, and now she was widowed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually Hazrat Abbas brought the proposal. Oh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my sister-in-law. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, wedded her, proposed for her and wedded her. So Hazrat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named her Maymuna. Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And subhanallah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha actually mentioned her. That how Hazrat Maymuna used to join ties and show such akhlaq and character. So we should remember that amazing quality of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded her in Dhul Qa'dah, and subhanallah, her akhlaq. Hazrat Aisha says that she would always show that kindness, show that character. And that's an amazing testimony. Both of them are co-wives of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even when Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha was leaving this world, Hazrat Aisha said she would always join ties. That was Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha. There's an interesting incident about Hazrat Maymuna. That one day, she prepared for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this gecko, something called a dob. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where she received this from, and she prepared the meal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard the word dob, he actually didn't eat. So Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was there, and he now is a nephew of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha. How? Because Hazrat Khalid bin Walid's mother, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid's mother's name was Lubaba Sughra. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas's mother was the other sister. She was Lubaba Kubra. Who was Abdullah bin Abbas's mother? Meaning Hazrat Abbas's wife. That's Lubaba Kubra. And Khalid bin Walid's mother is Lubaba Sughra. So that's why we find Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas would spend a lot of time in the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because his aunt is the blessed wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu's intention for being there with his aunt to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A young sahabi's amazing intention. And this is what we have to inspire in our children from very young. That let's learn the sunan mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is spending time in his aunt's home just to learn about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunan. And actually, on occasions when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakened for tahajjud and the water was prepared awaiting him, and he asked Hazrat Maymuna, where is this water? Who arranged it for me? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah to be independent, and he would do for himself. Even carrying his goods, he would carry himself. He taught this akhlaq. But if sahaba were doing, he would never stop them. But he wouldn't force, do this for me, do that for me. He didn't teach that lethargic attitude that everyone must do. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did. Even when they were on journey and sahaba were designated to carry out different duties, he himself got ready to do duties also. He didn't say, no, I'm going to make salah. You all finish all this off and just come tell me. No, they were on khidmah. He also did khidmah. And that's an amazing quality we need to learn also. What an amazing quality. On one occasion, sahaba returned from a journey, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the karguzari and the report. And they were mentioning the amazing journey they had. And subhanAllah, in that, they mentioned amongst us, there was such a righteous person. Wherever we stopped, he was only in salah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who used to make his khidmah? Sahaba said, oh Allah, Nabi, we would do it. Such a righteous man, we would love to make his khidmah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that means through khidmah, all of you are better. Kullukum khayrun minhu. What an amazing quality is khidmah. Allah give us all tawfiq to love to make khidmah. Khidmah of others. Ameen. Khidmah of the elders. Khidmah of even people of our level. And khidmah of the young too. And imagine we make khidmah of people with the intention of winning them over to Islam. What an amazing sunnah that is. SubhanAllah, we were hearing the karguzari, the elders who returned from the South African Mashura this last weekend. They were mentioning in our town, the karguzari of the brothers from Lens, the amazing khidmah that was taking place on the Maidan of the Ijtima. Ya Allah. Allah give us tawfiq. That even during the days of, before the khidmah, before the Ijtima, so many people on the site, whether doctor, whether lawyer, whether physician, young, old, everyone getting their hands dirty for Allah. What an amazing imitation and emulation of Sahaba when constructing Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, we can't do the exact same thing. That is Khairul Qurun, but we can imitate. And this is what this work is about. And then they even mentioned the one day they had become so despondent that the Ijtima was like almost rained out. Then someone who outwardly you wouldn't expect, he came. And the way he said, no, I'm doing this. And he brought loads of a certain type of sawdust. Allahu Akbar. Then before that, one of the elders were mentioning that some of the brothers from Somalia sat together and just started in the water, ankle deep, making dua, crying to Allah. And all of a sudden, Allah brought this brother. and he was on khidmah. He says, no, this is how we'll do it. From where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his help. And then when I heard that, I was just thinking, when we got to the istima, the one night, we just hear him not far from the tent we were sleeping in. There was brothers reading the Quran the whole night. So I just put 2 and 2. This would have been that jamaat that, hey, make ibadah, make dua, make dhikr, make tilawah. Let Allah ta'ala make everything go well. It's amazing, this work of khidmah. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas seized the opportunity because of his aunt being the blessed wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he used to make that khidmah. And look at the du'as he won when Allah's Nabi asked, where this water came from? And Maymuna said, my nephew Abdullah. Allah's Nabi said, oh Allah, teach him Quran. Oh Allah, enable him, inspire him, grant him the gift of the interpretation of the Quran. وَفَقِّهُ فِي التَّأْوِيلِ. Allah, give him the deep, correct understanding of interpreting the Quran Kareem. He is known as Habrul Ummah, the giant of this Ummah, in so many sciences, especially when it comes to the Quran. And look at that zest for knowledge. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas says, radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, but I used to go to all the senior Sahaba to learn. My colleague, an Ansari, said to me, why are you running behind all the Sahaba learning? Who's going to come to you? He said, no, I'm going to teach the people one day. He said, who's going to come to you when there's so many Sahaba? So he said, I did not become discouraged through my colleague. I used to go to the Sahaba's house and used to wait for them, and I used to learn. Allahu Akbar. He says that sometimes the Sahabi was resting in the afternoon. I would wait outside his house. Sometimes maybe he was asleep and it took a few hours. I would sit outside, and sometimes house in dust. I didn't get discouraged. I never leave my teacher. I sat there. And when that Sahabi used to come out, he used to ask me, oh Abdullah, why are you sitting here? He says, you are my teacher. I have to come to you. Knowledge has to be sought. We have to make an effort for knowledge. And one day, Abdullah bin Abbas was holding onto the reins of the conveyance of the great Sahabi, Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit. You read it in the khutbah today. Afraduhum Zayd ibn anhu. That Sahabi. So Hazrat Zayd then was told by Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you young Zayd, go back. Hazrat Zayd went back and he was tearing. His mother also started tearing. But he said, Ma, you know what? I wanted to be in this expedition to be near Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what, Ma? I'm going to master the Quran Sharif. I'm going to learn the Quran. And that's how I'll acquire proximity to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother said, what an idea, my son. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from that expedition, Hazrat Zayd used to learn. He was so bright. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Zayd, I want you now to learn the language of Aramaic, the Semitic languages that the Jews would speak, because the Jews used to translate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letters. When it used to come from them, O Zayd, you will be my translator. Within 15 days, he mastered the language. He became a scribe of wahi. When Quran Sharif would reveal, Allah's Nabi would send for Zayd. Zayd, come. And Zayd used to write down the Quran Sharif. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas is holding on to the reins of Hazrat Zayd. And Hazrat Zayd is saying, but why are you doing this? Oh, the cousin of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, the son of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you holding my reins? Normally a servant does that. He says, I am your servant. I am your student. This is how we are taught in our deen to treat our ulama. هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas, Hazrat Zayd asked him, oh Abdullah bin Abbas, show me your hand please. And he takes Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas's hand and he kisses the hand of Abdullah bin Abbas. He says, but Hazrat, why are you kissing my hand? He says, this is how we are taught to value. هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we are to treat the family members. And that's how he became so great. It was through khidmah. And through aspiration and through striving. So he's sitting by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and by Hazrat Maymuna, and this dob, this gecko, Now, this is something like a small crocodile. It's not a crocodile, but it looks like that. And it has a powerful tail, right? Sometimes we see it from the river, from in Darul Uloom, at the back there. Some students noticed it, some type of dibab and bab. Anyway, Hazrat Khalid asked, may I eat? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, you can. And Hazrat Khalid ate. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not eat. So when they told Hazrat Maymuna to eat, she says, when Allah's Nabi doesn't eat, I'll never eat. Even though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when I grew up, I never saw this, so I'm not eating. So that's why there's a difference of opinion when it comes to fiqh concerning this matter. And I'm not discussing fiqh. But look at Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha's amazing. She said, my Nabi is not eating, where I'll eat. She prepared it. She ate it in her childhood. She liked it. But she saw Allah's Nabi didn't eat. She didn't eat. Anyway, it was Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu partook. After that, Hazrat Maymuna was pouring a bowl of milk. And it was presented to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the right of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas. Now he's young. On the left was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is he thought respect for the elder. How can I leave the opportunity of drinking after you? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it in Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas's hand. And he drank the milk after Hazrat Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it was passed to Hazrat Khalid. So amazing is their relationship with their aunt and their captain. That's why if we have ulama in our family and we have righteous people in our family or through some link, seize the opportunity and spend time in their company. We have pious people in the Jamaat. Send our children to join those pious people, righteous elders who have given their lives in the 60s, in the 70s, and the 80s, and the 90s in the work of Dawah. Send our sons and our children to take their du'as and spend time in their company. This is an opportunity that is actually an opportunity of a lifetime. This is what Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhum did. This is what Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu did. And look at Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq. Allahu Akbar. But anyway, that was Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And subhanallah, even when she was in Makkah Mukarramah, she was ill. She got ill. So it was because she's known for her abundant ibadah. Abundant ibadah. So when she was very ill, it was the year 63 Hijri. And she was in Makkah Mukarramah. So she said, take me there to this place outside Makkah where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded me, the area Sarif. That was where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded me. And that's where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, consummated his Mubarak marriage with me. And then that's where she was buried. The beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she passed on and they were carrying her janaza, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas said that, be careful, this is the blessed consort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed Mubarak wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be careful when carrying her via her janaza. And subhanallah, she got married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month in Sarif. They consummated the marriage sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sarif, and she passed away in this town Sarif. Hazrat Aisha said Hazrat Maymuna was so conscious of Allah more than any other, and she joined the ties of everyone. She greeted people and she always apologized and maintained good relations. What an amazing lesson from Hazrat Maymuna. That was an incident I wanted to share of Dhul Qa'dah. Hazrat Maulana, if you allow me, some incidents. See, one is the Hajj of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I see we've got a few minutes. The other is, prior to the Hajj, in Makkah, what Allah's Nabi would do in Dhul Qa'dah during the Hajj season. Because in Dhul Qa'dah, Hajj season comes in. So Allah rewards you, Malana.
No problem.
What Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do in Makkah, and towards the beginning of Dhul Hijjah, they would make their way to Mina. So what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do when these bazaars were taking place? Can you imagine, respected Ummah, my beloved and your beloved never sat at home during these times. He went to meet all these Arab tribes coming to Makkah. They were coming with their different indabas. with their different intentions, different endeavors. But our beloved used to approach us. But his need, his worry, his desire, his cry was, Allah, you save them from Jahannam and take them to Jannah. This is why our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam went there. He used to talk to them. He used to introduce himself to them. He used to invite them to Islam. He used to go with Hazrat Abu Bakr on many occasions. And then he used to go with Hazrat Abu Bakr. And Hazrat Abu Bakr would introduce Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them and introduce Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr used to listen to how Allah's Nabi used to present Islam to them. Imagine, they used to actually mock Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to tell him, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we saw you last year. You came to tell us. Imagine, they speaking to the greatest of Allah's creation in this fashion. But you know what? Allah's Nabi never gave up. Yatba'ul Hajj, he used to go behind them, where they were staying, in Uqav, in Majannah, in Dil Majaz, and he used to meet them for da'wah. One day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Banu Amir's tribe. Allahu Akbar. They were so harsh with him. And actually, when they chased him away, and he walked away, when they chased him away, they actually were stoning him. لَيَرْمُونَهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ. Then he went to another tribe, Banu Muharib bin Khasafa. And there, feeling that this old man would knock some sense into them, the old man said to them, oh man, ayyuha rajul, ay you. If you look at the context, he was very, you know, disrespectful publicly in his tribe, in their tent. He says, anyone who takes this man to his community, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell you all, if anybody takes him home, illa aba bishri ma ya'ubu bihi ahlul Mosul. Same, he's taking the worst thing from Hajj. Allah save us. Imagine the disrespect of this old foolish man. And then he says, Agni anna nafsak, ay you heard me. Get away, get rid of you.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.